So firstly, Acts 17, verses 30 and 31. The times of ignorance God overlooked, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent, because he has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed. And of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead. Romans 4:25. He, Jesus, was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. David, over to you.
Thanks, Bill. And it's great to be able to join you this lunchtime. And I want to begin by asking a very simple question. What would you say has been the most important day of your life? And perhaps it was the day that you got married, or the day that the child was born, or the day that you landed that job in the city. And if we were to think outside of what has happened in our specific lives, what would you say has been the most important day of all world history? And perhaps it was the day that the first ever vaccine was made and the advancements in medicine that have come with that. Or maybe it's the end of the Second World War. Or perhaps more recently, the day the internet was invented. Now, there is no doubt that all of these days are important. But there is one day in all of history which is much more important than all of these days put together. There is one day in history where the events of that day have changed everything for every single person who has ever lived. A day where our response to it determines where each of us will spend eternity. The day that I'm talking about is, of course, the first Easter Sunday, the day when Jesus Christ rose bodily and burst out of the tomb, never to die again. Last week, we were thinking about the evidence for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We were thinking about why it is impossible that Jesus's resurrection is a work of fiction. And today we're moving on from that question. We're moving on from thinking about whether it's happened to think about what it means, to think about the implications of the resurrection, and to think about why it is so important for all of us today. Jesus's resurrection, what does it mean? Well, this lunchtime, we're just going to focus on two very simple and yet two fundamental implications. And they are on the handout that Phil has sent round. The resurrection means that Jesus will return to judge and that Jesus was raised to justify. We're going to look at them in that order. So firstly, the resurrection means that Jesus will return to judge. As Phil said, we're just looking at three verses today. And the first couple come from Acts 17. Let me reread those for us. Do follow along on the sheets. Paul preaching, he says, "The times of ignorance God overlooked, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent, because he has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed. And of this, he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead." Recently, I've been watching a TV series that follows the life and trial of Oscar Pistorius, the South African Paralympian who was sent to prison first for culpable homicide, manslaughter, before the charge was increased to murder. And one of the things that the original trial was known for at the time was just how public it was. And it was possible to watch the trial live on television day after day. It was possible to see and hear all that was going on. And maybe you remember sitting down to watch it. Well, at the end of Acts chapter 17, as Paul preaches the good news of the gospel in Athens, it's like he's giving his audience a public view into a courtroom. Not of God's courtroom in South Africa, sorry, not of a courtroom in South Africa, but of God's heavenly courtroom. And Paul is giving the advanced warning that a court hearing is coming up. At some point in the future, God is going to judge the world. Now, we don't have many things on our kitchen calendar at the moment, but if we were to look at God's calendar, or if we were to flick through the pages of God's diary, then we would see very clearly on a date in the future the words, judge the world. And now, of course, we don't know that date. But at some point in the future, each and every human being who has ever lived, ourselves included, will be sat, if you like, in the dock in front of the creator of the world. And the charge brought against us, sin, rejection of God, more than that, rebellion against God, and will either be found to be guilty or not guilty, and will either be justified, that is, in the right with God, or not justified, not in the right with God. Now, I take it that most of us would want to plead not guilty, as in we don't like to think that we are sinners. We don't want to admit that we have rejected God and turned from him. And we don't want to recognize that we are living in rebellion against him. Instead, we like to think that we are good and kind and loving people. But remember that the Lord God, in the massive pile of evidence next to him, well, he has access to everything that we have ever said. He has access to everything that we have ever done. He has access even to everything that we have ever thought. Those thoughts that we think no one knows, well, God knows them. As we think about that day, that judgment day, we like to think that the verdict will be not guilty of sin, but actually the Bible says it's guilty of sin. And we like to think that we will be justified, but actually we won't. And we like to think that the announcement will be life with God in heaven, but actually the coming sentence is one of death. After all, that is the penalty for sin. That is what each of us deserve. And now I guess at this point there might be two objections. The first might be, well, don't be silly. God is loving. God is kind. And so he will let me off. But did you notice what Paul says? Just look down again. God will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed. You see, whilst it might be possible for us to bribe and to sway a human judge, well, we can't do that with God. His judgment is going to be perfectly just and perfectly righteous. And it's worth noting that this is a good thing. After all, we all like justice. We hate the idea of injustice. I don't think many people would want the trial of their case to be at the royal courts of injustice, wouldn't they? They wouldn't have a clue as to how the trial would pan out. They wouldn't have a clue as to whether they would get a fair trial. Well, the good news is that God's judgment is just and fair. It is righteous. God will judge the world in righteousness, but that means that God can't just let me off. And the second objection might be, well, God is bluffing, that the whole of idea of judgment, well, it's just a load of rubbish. It's just there to scare us. But did you notice what Paul says at the end of the verse? He says that all people can be sure of it. If God has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed, and of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead. God is going to judge the world by Jesus Christ. He is the man whom God has appointed, the man God has chosen. And we know this, we can be assured of this, because God has raised him from the dead. You see, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is proof to us that he is more than just a human, and more than just a teacher, more than just a prophet. Jesus' resurrection shows us that he is the Lord, that he is the King. And the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the proof that he is the one who has been given authority by God to judge the world. And the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the proof that he is the returning Lord, the one who will come back, the one who will return to judge. The resurrection, what does it mean? Well, firstly, it means that Jesus will return to judge. Now, given that this is the case, given that we are all heading for a court hearing where we will be found to be guilty, given that we are all in the wrong with God, well, it means that the most important question for all of life is this: how can we be found to be not guilty on that day? And how can we make sure that we are in the right with God on that day? How can we be justified? How can you make sure that you are in the right with God on that day? Well, the answer is through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You see, the resurrection doesn't just mean that Jesus will return to judge. The resurrection also means that Jesus was raised to justify. That's the second implication, that the second meaning of the resurrection that we're looking at this lunchtime. The resurrection means that Jesus was raised to justify. Do follow along as I reread that verse that's on the right-hand side from the end of Romans chapter 4. Paul writes, "He," that's Jesus, "was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification." Earlier on, I mentioned how each of us deserve death because of the way we've treated God, not just a physical death, but a spiritual death, an eternal death, where we face God's righteous anger. But the wonderful news of Christianity is that we no longer have to face that. Jesus Christ himself was delivered up for our trespasses. He has taken God's anger for us on our behalf as he died on the cross. But given that the punishment for sin is death, well, it means that if Jesus was still dead, if his body was still in the tomb, well, that would mean that Jesus was still taking the punishment for us. And that would mean that, well, we couldn't be sure of being made right with God through him. But Jesus Christ isn't dead. He is alive. The resurrection of Jesus, the fact that he has been raised bodily, well, that is the proof that he has fully taken God's anger for us. The resurrection of Jesus is the proof that the forgiveness of sins is possible through him. Jesus Christ, then, instead of being declared guilty on that day, it means that we can receive the declaration of not guilty. We can receive that now in advance of that day. The resurrection means that we can be justified now. That's what Paul says. He was raised for our justification. Jesus was raised to justify. And this means that whether we have put our trust in Jesus Christ or not really does matter. And whether we have put our trust in Jesus Christ or not, well, it really does determine our eternity. Whether or not we have put our trust in the resurrected Jesus Christ is the difference between judgment on that day and justification on that day. If you're here today and you would call yourself a Christian, if you have asked Jesus to come into your life, if you have put your trust in his death and resurrection, then please leave today with great assurance. We can often hear about the coming judgment and maybe feel worry or guilt because of our sin. And maybe you have the tendency to be fearful that you'll be declared guilty on that day. But the great news is that through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the punishment has been fully taken. And we have already been declared to be righteous now. We already have the verdict of not guilty. And so we don't need to fear that day as we think about it. Instead, we can look forward to it and even long for it. Because we know that it means that we will get to be with the resurrected Christ for all eternity. But if you're here and you wouldn't call yourself a Christian, and then the simple question for you to think about further is, what are you going to do with the warning that we have seen? And remember, we are all heading towards a court hearing. And we don't know the date or the time of it. It could be in 20 years' time or 2 years' time. There's no reason why it couldn't be tomorrow. But we're all heading towards a court hearing. And yet it is a court hearing that hasn't come yet. And it is a court hearing where there is a way, just one way, yes, but there is a way to be made right with the judge beforehand. And so for the sake of your eternity, please listen to God's command. All people everywhere, he says, all people everywhere, including us here today, are to repent. And we are to turn around. We're to turn from rejecting God to accepting God. We're to turn from the old way of living. We're to put our trust in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And because as you do that, it means that you too can receive that declaration of not guilty now. And so, of course, if you're not guilty now, then not guilty on that day. The resurrection of Jesus Christ really is the most important day of all history, because it shows us two key things to take away from today. Jesus will return to judge. Jesus was raised to justify. Phil.
Great. Thank you very much, David. Some lots to think about there, even in just such a short space of time. We do have time now, 10 minutes or so, for any questions that you might like to ask either David or if I can help to me as well. So the floor is open. You can unmute yourself and just ask a question, or you can do that through chat. Either way is fine. I suppose I'll kick us off, David, just to check then, should we see Jesus' resurrection, therefore, as one of the main pieces of evidence that there will be a judgment day?
Yes, it seems to be that way. So obviously the cross shows that God takes sin seriously. So we'll think about that next week. But also, yeah, it seems to be from what Paul is saying in Acts that the resurrection and both proves, one, the reality of the judgment day, but also the identity of the one through whom God will judge. So it shows us that God will judge, but also that it is through the resurrected Lord, that Jesus Christ, that God will judge. So, yeah.
That's helpful, because I suppose, depending on who we are, you know, lots of our culture would probably believe there isn't going to be a judgment day at all.
Yeah.
But also perhaps there would be many religions in which it is believed as some kind of judgment, but not Jesus who's going to be the judge. And so both of those things being demonstrated by his resurrection. That's helpful. Other questions or comments?
I was just following on from that, really, Phil. I think a point that David made, particularly in the city, there's a tendency to think, oh, I'll wing it. You know, I'll scrape by somehow. You know, I'm going to be okay because I got where I am by just being okay. And I think, as you said, David, this really puts the kibosh on all that. So thank you.
Yeah, and I think if there's anything to learn from the past year, it's that humans don't live forever. If we take anything from this year, it's the reality of death.
Yeah.
And so it's not just a case of, oh, it's okay, I'll be okay and I'll just wait. And we often hear non-Christians saying, I'll think about these things later on in life. Unfortunately, the sad reality of the world is we don't know if we have those later years to think about this.
I think the can down the road doesn't work when you run out of road, does it?
Mm.
Other questions? I suppose we could also say from the COVID thing, David, correct me if this is wrong, but you know, it's also a reminder that, or a little taste of, you know, our impotence really to do anything about death. You know, with all the sort of medical science and research that we had, I mean, obviously there's the vaccine now, but it's a little sort of taste of actually how we weren't ready and couldn't, had no defence, even though we might have thought we did. And obviously on that final day, we can be sort of, well, the world will be, the Bible says the world will be sort of getting on as usual, won't it? Mm. And then Judgment Day will come. And that will be it. Yeah.
Pretty sobering stuff, isn't it, David? I mean, those of us who are older in years, you know, Brian and I are the oldsters, we're contemplating, you know, my dad died a little while ago, and we're all contemplating that the end of the line is coming. But if you're in your 20s and 30s, you just got your job in the city, you're going, and you're just getting past the COVID, and then you've got a whole career to build. It's easy to become complacent, and it's hard to take seriously the fact that judgment is coming, and we need to be investing for that. Lots of people invest for their pensions. They invest for all sorts of things. They invest for a big yacht. They invest for, you know, all the stuff that's important to the city. But few of us are investing for eternity.
Yeah, and I think presumably that's something to do with the things that we can see now. So we go after the physical, the things that we can see. And yeah, I'm sort of slightly younger, and yeah, naively think death isn't coming, and then two of my university friends tragically died on holiday, and then you just think, okay, that sort of hits home a little bit. So yeah, sort of the reality of it around.
So if I'm thinking, you know, okay, well, what do I do then? And you mentioned repentance there. God commands all people everywhere to repent. What does that mean? Could you help us with that?
Yeah, so word repent means turn around. So if I'm heading one way on the motorway and I might need to turn around at some point, so go off and then come back, and repentance is, that's what that word means. And when we talk about it in relation to Christianity, it means to stop living for self, so to stop living in rebellion against God and to turn around. So it's going to involve a change in mindset, because we're living as if God and Jesus don't matter. So I need to a change in mindset to realize that God and Jesus do matter. And then that's, once that change in mindset comes, it's then going to change the way that I live in all sorts of areas. But the first thing is, I think, a change in mindset of Jesus doesn't matter, to Jesus is now my king, and I'm going to try and live his way.
That's helpful. Got a comment here from Mariam. After repentance, also build a relationship with God. I'm praying as much as I can and read as much Bible study. So, yeah, that's helpful. So repentance is that once for all act, isn't it, of coming back to God, turning away from my life of sin and living for myself and coming back to God. Wonderfully, when we do repent, we're welcomed by with open arms by a God who loves us and forgives us all of our sin because of Christ's death on the cross. That's the once for all act of repentance. And then ongoingly, we continue, therefore, to live in relationship with God and with Jesus Christ as our King, and that has implications for our lives ongoingly. And as Mariam has said, we'll be wanting to read our Bibles, because that's how we hear God speak to us. We're now in relationship with him, and we have the privilege of being able to pray to God as our Heavenly Father, because we've been brought into relationship with him by Jesus and through his death. Thanks, Mariam. Any other questions of clarification or comments?
A question, if I may. Thanks for the talk. Really, really helpful and thought-provoking. Just thinking about, there's a reference there in the passage we were looking at about times of ignorance. What would you say about around that passage? Not quite the verse we're looking at, but what do we say about people who, you know, never heard of Jesus? Or how does that work? And if the resurrection is such a pivotal event, you know, why is it that many people have not heard yet?
I think we'd want to say for people who've, I think the first thing I'd want to say for people who've not heard about Jesus, well, therefore, as Christians, let's go and tell them about Jesus. And so I think we need to turn that into an urgency of, therefore, let's go to the nations and let's go to the people who've not heard about Jesus, rather than, yeah, I think our immediate is, oh, surely it's unfair. Well, my immediate response to that is, well, therefore, let's go and tell them about Jesus and tell them about his resurrection, if we think it's that important. You know, Paul in 1 Corinthians says, the work of the Lord is not in vain. Because of the
very well, Paul concludes, did speak a couple of days ago
of that chapter. The fact that Jesus rose means that the work of the Lord is not in vain. So let's crack on with mission. I think they still need to hear about Jesus and repent and turn to him. God, in his common grace, has revealed himself to all people in creation. All people know that there's a God, and people need to call on Jesus specifically. So therefore, let's go.
And there was a sense in which before Christ came and was died and was raised, the world was in ignorance as to God's plans. But that now that Christ has come and the message of his death and resurrection has been proclaimed to the world, the world is no longer in ignorance about God's plans. And therefore is commanded to repent and surrender to the Lord Jesus for that day. That's really helpful, David. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good question as well. Well, I think we have reached 1:40, so I think we'll draw stumps there. Thank you very much, everyone, indeed, for coming along. Just a reminder, do come next week to hear, and we're going to be focusing a little bit more on the death of Jesus next week and the freedom that he's won for us. So if today was more perhaps on the judgment, next week is more on the salvation that we have in him. Do come again. I noticed we've got some new faces or names. If you'd like to receive the email that we send out once a week to tell you what we're doing with the link in it, do email me or send me your email on chat. I'll stick on the call. My email address is on the is actually on the handout as well, so you could use that. But thanks very much, everyone, for coming. Thanks, especially David. Much appreciated. Thank you for your hard work. And hopefully see you next week.
Thanks very much. Thanks, David.
Bye.
Thanks, Phil. Thank you, David.
Thank you, David. Thanks.
Thanks, Phil. Bye.
You got the chat message, Phil, did you, from Lisa?
Yeah, I've got two email addresses, which is great.
Great. Oh, that's terrific.
David, thank you very much indeed. Well done.
Pleasure.
No, I thought that was...